Today I'm going to ask you to give attention to another unsung hero we read about in 1 Samuel 16, 14 through 23. So if you'd like to open your Bibles there, that would be wonderful. Also, you may have a handout that has the scripture references that I'll be citing. You could open your device, of course, as well, if that's your preference. I do that a lot these days. The events that are found here occur shortly after David was anointed to succeed Saul as king of Israel, and probably not all that long before he would face Goliath. Now, we know about those two events, but there's something that happens in the middle of these maybe you're not as much aware of. So listen closely to the text, beginning in verse 14 of 1 Samuel 16. It tells us, "Now the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul, and the Lord sent a tormenting spirit that filled him with depression and fear. Some of all Saul's servants said to him, 'A tormenting spirit from God is troubling you. So let us find a good musician to play the harp whenever the tormenting spirit troubles you. He will play soothing music, and you will soon be well again.' 'All right,' Saul said, 'find me someone who plays well and bring him here.'" Verse 18 says, "One of the servants said to Saul, 'One of Jesse's sons from Bethlehem is a talented harp player. Not only that, he's a brave warrior, a man of war, and has good judgment. He's also a fine-looking young man, and the Lord is with him.' So Saul sent messengers to Jesse to say, 'Send me your son David, the shepherd.' Jesse responded by sending David to Saul along with a young goat, a donkey loaded with bread, and a wineskin full of wine. So David went to Saul and began serving him. Saul loved David very much, and David became his armor bearer." We'll talk more about armor bearers next week. "Then Saul sent word to Jesse asking, 'Please let David remain in my service, for I am very pleased with him.' And whenever the tormenting spirit from God troubled Saul, David would play the harp, then Saul would feel better, and the tormenting spirit would go away." Now, who do you think the unsung hero might be in our story today? Hint, it's not David, and it's not Saul. Songs would be sung celebrating them, both of them. No, the unnamed servant I'd like to focus on is the one who provided the reference for David to play for Saul. Think about that. The door was open to the throne, and the way was paved for David to follow God's leading to become a mighty warrior and the ruler of Israel because someone recommended him. Now, David, by especially young boys, is probably better known for using a sling than strumming strings of a harp. But he did both with great skill. He used one instrument for physical battles. He killed a lion and a bear with it. He would use it to defeat a giant later. Yet our text indicates he employed the other instrument for spiritual warfare. More on this later. If David sang any lyrics, it isn't mentioned. It appears his offering was strictly instrumental. To be frank, I planned for this to be a brief devotional, but the Spirit kept speaking to me through this story, prompting me not to overlook some very important principles. So here we go. First, I believe a very timely application from this text. Don't miss the fact that, like the unnamed person in our text, you could bless God's kingdom greatly by submitting the name of someone you perceive to be gifted for service. Think on that again. You could benefit, bless God's kingdom greatly by referring someone that you see has a gift to serve. We're presently accepting nominations for elders and deacons in this congregation. Matter of fact, today is supposed to be the deadline for that. Now, you personally may not feel you're qualified, but that doesn't mean you aren't aware of someone who is. Should you think someone else will put their name forward? Well, perhaps they will. But, you know, you might be the very one God's chosen to do that. The very one. Now, and should someone nominate you, refer you, Don't dismiss it without carefully reading through 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 2, as we've encouraged you to do throughout this process. Maybe you don't have the criteria to be a deacon or an elder now, but you could support someone else who is. You could refer them, submit them for service, and make it your goal to grow into one of those roles later on. Okay? So that's, I believe, a very timely lesson about how referring people to serve in the kingdom is so vitally important. Now next, though God sent a spirit to trouble Saul, he also sent a servant to recommend David, see, to comfort him. This servant was sent, prompted by God, I believe. So don't ignore any promptings God may put on your heart to recommend someone, again, for service. Now, the instrument that David played was likely a small 7 or 10-stringed harp or zither. I remember my grandma having a zither. Did you know there's a powerful link between music and goodwill? Music therapy has been utilized over recent years in hospitals and nursing homes because it has proven to boost, are you ready, immune systems, lower hormone levels that contribute to stress. Music therapy can decrease depression, increase joy, ease pain, reactivate neurological speech centers, and even improve the memory of some Alzheimer's patients. Wow. It can calm nerves and serve to help us with reflective contemplation and positive motivation. Who would have thought God would? And Saul's servant did. By the way, did you know we're looking for a drummer too? So you know, if you perceive someone has that gift or could develop that gift, let us know. There have been many times when I visited members of the flock who were struggling with dementia. They're often confused and anxious, sometimes even angry with their circumstances. Some don't recognize me or their surroundings when I visit. Yet, listen, if I begin to softly sing Amazing Grace, many calm down and even join in singing. Now, believe me, it's not because of my beautiful voice. That's not what is working the magic. But the sweet reminder of the beautiful message of salvation. Whenever friends or family are in critical care, whether it be in ICU of a hospital or in hospice or at home, I suggest music therapy. How so? I recommend that spiritual songs and hymns be played in their room. Why? It can comfort the one who's ill as well as their caregivers and visitors. How many know that to be true? How many have experienced that? On more than one occasion, it's been reported that someone who came out of a coma said that they heard music and felt a sense of peace. Now, perhaps it was angelic music that God provided, or perhaps it was the very music God was providing through those servants that are recommended to do this very thing, to use this therapy. I need to pause here. To note something that should be obvious, but one of our interpreters encouraged me to acknowledge, and I'm thankful that they did. Music does not motivate deaf people the same way it does those who are hearing. Some deaf can't relate it to music at all in the way that we do, but many do experience a benefit through visual and vibrotactile means. In other words, seeing someone clapping or using a tambourine to keep tempo can stimulate the auditory senses. And vibrations from a bass or drums can be felt. Did I mention we're looking for a drummer? They can actually be felt. I've heard from deaf people who've gone to concerts, big concerts, that the vibrations. And we might say, oh, that's too loud. For them, that's really moving. It can be very, very encouraging to them. It's been said that for the deaf, music has the power to go below the surface of the typical communication experience. Amber Galloway Gallego is an ASL interpreter who specializes in music and has a YouTube channel devoted entirely to it. I encourage you to check it out. May I also say that I have personally been motivated by watching the deaf express themselves during a song led by the interpreters. Haven't you been encouraged that way too? See, music moves them even though they don't experience it the same way we do. Now, can I just get a sign from the deaf? Is that true? Is that true? Does music move you too? Okay, I'm getting some acknowledgement. I am, okay? Now, back to our story, okay? When a position opened in music ministry, this unnamed person thought of this young shepherd whom he'd heard playing the lyre. Now, not lying, L-Y-R-E, the instrument. Now, when did he hear David play, I wonder? It wasn't like he could buy a CD or download David's greatest hits. But he'd heard David play. Not only that, the implication is he'd also seen him play. Why do I say that? Because he described his appearance. Didn't he? He described his appearance. I doubt that the servant visited the field where David watched over his sheep as they were grazing. He wouldn't have seen David play in church, not even in the temple, because, again, David was not of the tribe that was given that task to play in the temple. It occurs to me that David maybe have played at weddings, festivals. Maybe he went back and forth to the battlefield, as we find out later that he was doing, carrying food to them. Maybe he took his harp along and played for them. Maybe he was just someone who was acquainted with the family and periodically when he visited, heard David. I don't know. It could be that David just strummed and played wherever he went, whenever he had the opportunity. And how many of you know that someone really has a heart for that and a gift for that tends to do that? They do. The scripture is clear that when David played a tune, it had a soothing effect on Saul. It even says the tormenting spirit left him. Now, this raises a question or two, I believe. First of all, why did God send such a spirit, which many translations render as an evil one? And how does that sync with the words of James in our New Testaments? In chapter 1 of James, verse 13 and 14, it says, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God's tempting me,' for God can't be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they're dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed." In chapter 3, verse 14 to 16, it says, "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom doesn't come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, you find disorder in every evil practice." And then chapter 4, verse 1, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within?" So what's going on here? Saul's rebellion resulted in inner turmoil, sanctioned by the Lord God Almighty. For what purpose? To bring the once humble but now arrogant king to his senses. I'm afraid it didn't quite work. Though it should have brought him to repentance, I believe that was God's desire and motivation, he only wallowed deeper into self-pity. Yet God seized the opportunity it afforded to use an unnamed servant, again, an unnamed servant, to relieve his anxiety and open the door of his chosen successor. The man after God's own heart would minister to Saul because an unnamed servant recommended him. Amazing how God orchestrates things, isn't it? And I wonder how many times we don't realize that the people who ministered to us would not be here, would not be able to do that if someone hadn't first gave them a referral, a recommendation, submitted them to be considered. Maybe you've heard it said that music soothes a savage beast. Ever heard that? Well, it's a misquote. The words penned by William Congreve in 1697 are different than that. The English poet and writer actually wrote this line into his script of a play called The Mourning Bride, and that's mourning crying. Music has charms to soothe a savage breast, to soften rocks, or bend a knotted oak. Even Saul's servants recognized how his brute instincts led to his sad condition. And that inspired music could be a healing ointment to his calloused heart. Once again, did this musical medicine soften Saul's heart enough to turn him back toward God? Sadly, no. Though it seemed promising for a time because it did give him relief. Rather than being thankful for the Lord's therapist, Saul became jealous of David and even later would try to kill him more than once. Having said all of this, though, let us not underestimate the power of music implemented by servants of God. The blessing of musical therapy may be experienced through singing, playing instruments, or even composing music. Yet here's some good news. Musical skills or talents are not required to receive the benefits. Aren't you glad to hear that? Listening to music can make a huge difference in one's mood and disposition. I know that whenever I feel down in the dumps, listening to spiritual music lifts my spirits. The words of Zephaniah 3:17 come to mind. As I was preparing this message, it says this: the Lord your God is living among you. He's a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Wow. Just knowing that, recognizing that truth, lifts my spirits. There's a sentiment, see, in this passage that warms my heart. Like a mother singing over a restless child, the Lord sings over me when I'm anxious or troubled. Now I need to be in tune to the Spirit to hear it. Because this is a voice, this is a melody that the deaf as well as the hearing can hear. Because the voice of God speaking and singing to their hearts. And like I did with my kids, he sings happy songs. He sings happy songs with his children that brings a smile to our faces and gladness to our hearts. One type of musical therapy is improvisation, taking liberty with a Paul Simon song, which I've been singing a rendition of for the last couple of weeks. The original Loves Me Like a Rock. I used to sing it with my girls. And even thinking about it lightens my heart. But here you go. When I was just a child and the devil called my name, I'd say, who do you think you're fooling? I'm a consecrated boy singing in the Sunday choir. Oh, my God loves me. He loves me. He sent down his son to save me. He loves me like a rock. He rocked me like the rock of ages. He loved me. He loved me, loved me, loved me, loved me, like a rock. He loved me, loved me, loved me, loved me, like a rock. I know, Pam, you probably got tired of hearing that, right, in the office. Zach as well. Because to the annoyance of others, I have been jiving to that tune. I have. And guess what? Singing it the other day, not here, but at... It was right after my mother-in-law's surprise birthday party. We were cleaning up, you know, and I was in the kitchen putting some things away. And one of the elders there at the church she attends and his wife were doing dishes. And I started singing this. And he sang backup.
Love me, love me, love me, love me, like a rock. Love me, love me, love me, love me.
And he was doing so good. I asked if he could come here today and do backup for me today, but he had another commitment. But you know, it refreshes the heart, even to improvise. And haven't you heard songs before, secular songs, that you thought, wow, I think I could rework that a little bit. Now, someone said the other week that Rich Mullins might have turned over in his grave for, you know, me improvising, you know, with a song that he had written, and now Paul Simon's probably going to sue me, but there you go. But I have found that focusing on the troubles that I'm facing or that family and friends and the church members are wrestling with, I can get pretty down. Am I alone in that? But singing even a silly song with a sound truth can bring things into perspective. Now back to our story. We don't know anything more about David's music manager or what became of him. Yet the record of what he did has been preserved for nearly 3,000 years. And I would submit to you that not only did he bless Saul, he blesses us yet today because of that sensitivity to the Spirit when prompted to recommend someone to serve. This has been perhaps, well, not perhaps, surely has, more like a message about music than the unsung hero. But I want you to get this, understand this. I couldn't help but, you know, just focus on some of this ministry of music. How important it is, even in spiritual warfare. Because there was a spirit tormenting him. And the melody given by God to David, chase that spirit away. Wow. Think on that. I can't help but wonder what happened to the man, but I'm sure that God blessed him for blessing another. Only the Lord knows how a referral we make today may bless someone in the now, and perhaps bless others for years to come. Don't know. And whether we realize it or not, one of the sweetest melodies is service rendered to another accompanied by a spirit of love. As we saw last week, Hebrews 6:10 says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love that you've shown him as you've helped his people and continue to do so. Hear that. Helping God's people, God's children, working in God's kingdom, serving in God's kingdom, not only blesses them, God is pleased when we do that. With that heart of concern for them, love and compassion, and having the courage to recommend someone we see that the Lord is with. Now, we read over that kind of quickly, but did you notice that? That was one of the attributes, that was one of the character, if you will, characteristics, I'll say, in David that he saw, he witnessed, the Lord was with him. In all the criteria that we're looking for in service in the church, we want people to have the Lord with them. That's the most important. The most vital. Because if the Lord is with them, their service will be blessed. And others will be blessed by their service. One last thing. The greatest referral you can ever give would be to refer Jesus to someone. To tell someone who's down in the dumps, someone who's lost hope, someone who's discouraged, someone who is worried and anxious about Jesus. Because the melody that he can bring is eternal. It can bring joy and comfort to a heart that's troubled. Not just for a while, but forever. Because his ministry of service is so powerful. Not only does the tormenting spirit leave for a while, the evil one trembles when the Lord is with us. So we should encourage others, shouldn't we, to accept Jesus. Have you seen him work? Have you seen what he can do? Have you experienced that? Then when the opportunity presents itself, tell somebody, hey, I know somebody. Just the person you need. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who so loved you, he gave his life for you. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for this story that you have preserved for us, that once again it is a true story. It happened, it occurred. And Father, the very fact that you have preserved it throughout the ages, there's reason for that. The Apostle Paul said the things that are written aforetime are for our learning, for our encouragement. We're to glean something from this. And I pray that we have gleaned what you wanted us to today. And I know there's more. And I pray we'd pour over it and pray over it. And Father, just open our hearts to hear from you. Thank you, Father, for the reminder that you sing over us. That you love us and you sing over us with joyful songs. Oh, that warms my heart. Refreshes our spirits. Father, again, for those who don't know the privilege that we have, don't understand it, that have this relationship with you in Christ, I pray, Father, that their hearts might be softened and opened. And once again, we might seize the opportunity when it presents itself to tell them about Jesus, in whose name we pray, and amen.